You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, July 2nd, 2026, and welcome to episode 189 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning, I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you for tuning into the program today. Happy July 4th weekend. If you hear some sounds outside, they are shooting off fireworks in the neighborhood. So on this week's show, I'm going to be talking about Nintendo's latest Star Fox. As always, though, let's kick things off with a look at the news. And we've got a doozy this week. In a huge blow to game preservationists, used game stores, and those who still buy physical media, PlayStation has announced that they will be phasing out all disc-based games for PlayStation consoles beginning in January of 2028. This story comes from Steven Totillo over at GameFile. New games sold for PlayStation consoles will only be available digitally and won't be sold on discs effective January 2028, Sony has announced. The move applies to all PlayStation games released from that point on, including those made by Sony and those released by third parties. In a PlayStation blog post, the publisher said the change was, quote, a natural direction for Sony Interactive Entertainment to adapt to consumer trends as the general preference for digital media significantly outpaces physical discs. There is a lot to go over and to consider with this announcement, more than I'll be able to cover here, like how this affects PlayStation gamers in more rural areas of the country or the world who don't have access to the same quality of internet as urban customers. Or how this is almost the exact decision that Xbox made back in 2013 and famously propelled PlayStation into the comfortable position as market leader that they've pretty much enjoyed ever since. Or the incredibly unfortunate timing to announce this less than a week after they deleted hundreds of movies from the consoles of PlayStation owners who had purchased the movies digitally, saying that it was due to copyright issues. This seems like something that was inevitable, I think, whether we like it or not. Something in the neighborhood of 80% of PlayStation games sold are digital these days, and recent comments from Sony seem to hint at the PS6 being a hybrid handheld device similar to the Switch. So it wouldn't really make much sense for a device like that to rely on discs. Still, the reaction I've seen online has been pretty overwhelmingly negative, but you know how much this actually hurts them, we'll just kind of have to wait and see. Will PlayStation gamers just shrug this off and go along with it, or will this be Sony's Xbox One moment and bite them in the butt? I guess we'll have to wait and see. From a pure nostalgia point of view, the Nintendo 64 generation is still one of my favorites. Super Mario 64, Pilot Wings, Banjo-Kazooie, GoldenEye, Beetle Adventure Racing, the list goes on and on. Some truly all-time classics. But to be honest, they have aged about as well as that container of tuna salad that you made back in April that's been sitting in the back of your fridge for the last 3 months. You know what I mean? The recipe is still good, but looking at it now, it's kind of gross. Thankfully, Nintendo seems to agree because it looks like they're entering their N64 remake era with an updated version of The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time coming this holiday. And last month, they launched a remake of Star Fox 64, simply titled Star Fox. So the word on the street is that this new game is mostly a direct remake of the original with a spiffy new coat of paint. But given that the original turns 30 years old next year and my brain will be turning 50 next year, I don't remember jack squat about it, even though I know I played it. So I'm going to be talking about this as if it's a brand new game to me. So the back of the box pitch, if you are unfamiliar with the franchise, or if you only know it from Smash Brothers or the latest Super Mario movie, is that you play as Fox McCloud, captain of the Star Fox Squad, a group of legendary pilots and mercenaries that used to be led by Fox's father, James. But James disappeared years ago while fighting the evil Dr. Andross. And now Fox and his team are recruited to stop Andross before he takes over the Lylat system. Plot-wise, I don't think there's a whole lot going on here, which is totally fine for an arcade-style shooter. You're really here for the action and the characters themselves. And I will say that I do really like the redesign of the crew. Fox, Slippy, Falco, and Peppy all have this kind of realistic but also slightly off look to them. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Fantastic Mr. Fox movie. And the cutscenes which were added for this remake are actually really well done, I think. They're high quality, even if, like I said, the plot itself is a bit inconsequential. As far as the arcade action goes, they really do deliver. The flying in Star Fox feels tight and responsive. You've got cool moves like your boosters, somersaults, and of course the barrel roll, which deflects enemy fire. And in addition to your regular blasters, you can hold down A to lock onto targets, collect upgrades throughout each level to upgrade your guns, and press Y to launch a bomb, which can take out large groups of enemies. The flying and the shooting, they really do feel pretty great. And the levels all look really good, and they offer a lot of variety. In addition to the on-rails type flying sections, you'll occasionally get segments where you get to fly freely in larger arenas and dogfight your enemies. Plus, there are levels where you are driving a tank or a submarine, and the boss fights are all appropriately big and pretty fun. The levels might be short, but each one looks and plays pretty differently. And that kind of brings me to my next point. If you are coming into this game thinking that you're going to just, you know, play through the single player campaign, the story mode, and be done with it, I don't think you're really going to get your $50 worth. It only takes about 2 hours or so tops to get through a run. This game is for people who want to replay that campaign over and over again and check out all the different modes. If you want to see all the levels in the game, you're going to have to play through it multiple times to unlock all the branching paths and the different planets. But I think that is totally worth it just to see everything. You've also got a challenge mode that lets you play the levels and complete certain objectives. There's a multiplayer mode that pits two squads against each other, and a co-op mode which has one player piloting and the other one doing the shooting. So there is a good amount of content here if you really want to dig deep and check out everything that's in there. Just know going in that that's what's expected if you really want to get your money's worth. I think it's a gorgeous and fun remake of a game I remember fondly, even if I apparently don't remember the specifics. I think the best thing, though, is that this gives me a little bit of hope that Nintendo still remembers those classic franchises that made the N64 generation great. And if we can get an awesome, high-quality remake of Star Fox, there might be a sliver of hope for my dreams of a new Pilot Wings or Wave Race. All of this talk about video games ditching physical media and studio closures and $1,000 consoles, it really has me thinking about what the future looks like for gaming, console gaming in particular, which is, you know, what I primarily enjoy. And I think on top of all of these problems, all of these challenges, the biggest thing that threatens the status quo is that young people these days just interact with gaming in such a radically different way than we did when we were young. As someone who has watched two kids grow up around gaming and are now teenagers, almost adults, they are, for the most part, not that interested in crap like console wars or which platform is the most powerful. The games that they're interested in primarily fall into one of two categories, either the so-called forever games or games as service, you know, things like Minecraft, Roblox, and Fortnite that, you know, they have been playing those for years and years, and they will probably continue to play them for years to come. Or they're the odd little indie games that they saw on YouTube or TikTok, you know, Poppy Playtime, RV There Yet, Repo, or Peak. And the thing that most of these games have in common is that they're playable on pretty much anything. You know, why would they care about a $1,000 PlayStation when they can play the games that they want on their, you know, their laptop that they already have for school or whatever, or their phone or their iPad? My kid's best friend exclusively plays video games on her phone. And sure, once in a while, they get kind of interested in a big AAA game, but it's a rarity. The other thing is that young people these days, they don't even feel the need to play a game themselves to have a fun experience with it. I don't know how many times my kids have been talking about a game. They'll bring up a game and I'll ask if they want to play it, and they are perfectly content to just watch their favorite streamer or their YouTuber, you know, play through it. It's just as entertaining for them to consume a video game that way. And as they grow older and get ready to go out into the world, a world that is increasingly expensive and difficult for young people to, you know, make a comfortable living in, you know, are they really going to care about the next PlayStation or Nintendo, or are they going to find ways to enjoy gaming in a way that is affordable and convenient for them? So where does that leave the console gaming experience? How do you convince the next generation of young adults that they need to buy a new PlayStation for $1,000 so that they can play the next GTA or Resident Evil? I'm not so sure that you can. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I am your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.